Yo, 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 welcome back to the Snatch Edges podcast. It's your girl Ebony, your friendly neighborhood trichologist, and I am back with another episode of the podcast and my mini series, My Hella Story. Today, I'm talking to one of my clients who had a diagnosis of LPP, and we're hearing about her hair journey to get into me, to go into a dermatologist, and F and she's kind of felt in between. Now, I know a lot of you have been emailing me, waiting for an update, seeing the salons are opening back up on Saturday. Guys, I've already been telling you that I'm not going back to work anytime soon, but I do have a date in mind. It's the 1st of August. So I had a trial date at the salon this week where all the stylists, we came in to kind of see the changes that have been made and how it will work for you guys. So we have done a risk assessment, and we've made sure that the building is as safe as possible. Well, I didn't, the owners did, and it looks amazing. So I can't wait to see you guys soon. I'm currently just making sure that on my end, all like the bookings and systems are in place because there are going to be a few changes to how things work. So please bear with me. I'm trying to update my website as we speak, and I should have information for you guys in like the next week or two. So listen, if you're not on my mailing list, please sign up because that's the place you're going to get the information first and where all the booking info will be. So please, please, please just bear with me. I will be back in August. I'm just trying to get things like, set good for you guys. And yeah, so sit back, enjoy the episode, and I'll be back soon. Cool. So if you could just introduce yourself, maybe tell me, your age, your background, just so people kind of get an idea of you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm 27, going on 28. Black British. My heritage is Nigerian. I have a kind of busy job. I work in financial services, particularly kind of within consulting. So it's a regular 9 to 5, but sometimes I will do out like long hours. I wouldn't say they're late. I know there's some people who have jobs that kind of 10, 11 p.m. every day is regular for them. But for me, it's kind of like 6:37 on a late
Okay.
day. So it's not too hectic. But
So back in
obviously,
time for EastEnders.
yeah, exactly. What you said, I think EastEnders are probably like 7, 7:30. So I'd probably miss it, like including the
Oh
commute and
gosh, yeah,
everything.
true. Okay.
But yeah, so it's not too busy, but I wouldn't say it's not like 5 on the dot I'm
Yeah,
leaving.
but it's demanding though.
Yeah, it is demanding.
Cool. So
I'm
tell me.
married as
Okay,
well.
you're married, yeah.
Yeah, I've been married for almost 2 years now. So obviously, outside of work, I have those kind of responsibilities and busy social life as well. So, yeah.
Okay, I love that you added the social life in there, like just to let the girls know that, listen, I'm not just housewife, I'm out here, in the club having
Exactly.
fun. Cool. So when did you first start experiencing hair loss?
So what I first noticed was around October 2019, I would say. I noticed like when I was washing my hair at the very, very back, I felt like a patch almost the size of my little finger. So it wasn't a wide one, but just a little patch of thinning or balding at the back. Obviously, I couldn't see it because it was right at the back, but I was like, this feels strange. And then carried on washing my hair as normal, left it, as in carried on with my routine. What to ex to give people context, like I'm a wig girl, so I went natural about 6 years ago, and ever since going natural, I've just been wigs, 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 wigs for the most part, and then I'll get braids like once a year. But then at the beginning of 2019, I noticed that my edges were thinning from constantly wearing wigs. I've never had like the thickest edges anyway, but they were getting really bad to the point that there were some patches at the front, which I think was just from the tension of the wig rubbing against my edges. So I decided for the whole of 2019 I was going to do no wigs. So I had been constantly getting weaves, and then in between that I'd get braids as well, and I got crochet braids as well. So after I had my crochet,
Quickly, I just want to interrupt there. So you said that at the end of for 2019, your thing was no wigs, but instead of that, you decided you were going to have weaves and some extension style. So being crochet was like your main one.
Yeah, pretty
How
much.
did that kind of like choice come up in your mind? What did you think you were trying to gain from that?
I just, well,
Sorry, that
you
sounded so sarcastic.
know,
You
I understand what you
Yeah.
mean. Like, what I wanted was to take the tension away from like constantly rubbing my edges with wigs. So I thought if I just do weaves, braids, crochet, I'd leave my hair in between each style, I'd probably leave my hair out for 2 weeks as well. So it
Cool.
wasn't like I'm constantly putting it under wraps, but yeah.
Excellent. Okay, I just wanted to make that point clear. All right, cool. So you started wearing different styles, and then in October you noticed when you're washing like a small patch at the nape of your neck, then what was like the next step?
To be honest with you, I just kind of left it. I thought, oh, maybe I pulled my hair because I'd been having these protective styles for a year. I thought by that point it was October, so 10 months. I thought maybe it was just tension from like all this chemos that maybe it'll just grow back. So I kind of left it and just carried on as normal. Fast forward to December, we went to Ghana for Dirty December over Christmas.
Hey, enjoyment.
So yeah, I went to get my hair braided. Like, I wanted knotless braids. And it was when the hairdresser was doing my hair. She was like, one side of your hair seems to be thinner than the other side of your hair. So I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, what does it look like? Can you kind of explain it to me? And she was like, oh, it's not bad. Because like at this point, I still didn't have any patches apart from that one that I had noticed at the back. She was like, it's not bad, but it just kind of seems to be thinning a little bit. Like maybe it's alopecia or something. So at this point, as soon as she said alopecia, I was like, oh my God. Like, my best friend actually has alopecia. She has alopecia areata.
Yeah.
So she has like, so I was just thought, that was just the first thing I thought. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But left the braids in. I couldn't, until I took the braids out, there was nothing I could do anyway. And I just paid like literally like £110 to get knotless braids. So there was literally nothing I could do.
You were like, I'm going to get these braids by fire, by force.
Yeah,
I'm going to enjoy them off the day. Listen, exactly. This hair loss stuff can wait until like January. I'm not in the mood
exactly.
right now.
But in the meantime, like I had, after she said that, I was like, okay, fine. Let me start researching. Mm-hmm. So I kind of started Googling what it could possibly be. And I came across CCCA.
Yeah,
I mean, you can explain that to the people, because you know I'm not really an expert.
It's cool. If you don't know what CCCA is, you have to go back a couple of episodes and listen to the podcast with Dr. Yolanda Lindsay, and she will explain it there fully. So I'll put a link for that in there, and you can take a break, go listen, and then come back.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So I saw CCCA, and I kind of looked at some of the symptoms, which mainly was kind of being a bit tender-headed and feeling certain sore spots and itchiness. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I had noticed that as well prior to her saying that my hair was thinning. I had noticed that I had certain spots on my scalp that were sore,
yeah,
and that it could be very, very itchy. But again, I had put that down to, oh well, I've been wearing weaves and wigs, and to be honest, I was, in terms of my wash routine, it was terrible. It wasn't regular. It was like once a month or maybe every 2 weeks at best.
Yeah.
So I just kind of put it all down to that. But when I saw the CCCA stuff, I kind of panicked a bit. I thought, oh, this sounds familiar. It could possibly be this. This could be the cause of my thinning. So I left it, took out my braids. And when I took out my braids, I had two of my friends come over, blow dry my hair and take pictures so that I could examine them properly.
Right.
And
did you tell your friends beforehand that you were worried about
I used to tell everyone. Like, as soon as someone told me, I was like, oh my gosh, my hair is thinning, girls. Like, I don't know what to do. This is what the woman is saying. And they were all like, oh, maybe it's just manipulation. Like, it's probably fine. You like to panic all the time, which I do anyway. So they kind of all tried to reassure me, but I was like, no, I need to see. I need to take it out and take pictures.
Yeah.
So when my friend came over...
Sorry, what about your friend with the alopecia areata? Like, was she a part of the people that you...
Oh, she was. I'm going to come to her later.
Okay, cool,
really important in the journey. So yeah, so I got two of my other friends over. They came, they took pictures, and that's when I saw that it was thinning. It mm-hmm. wasn't at this point, again, there was still no patches, apart from the one at the back, but it was, like, obviously thinning. Like, I could see a lot more scalp, and it was a lot on the left side of my hair. And I could see, like, little tiny red... not bumps, but almost like irritation where mm-hmm. the thinning was. So that's when I knew, okay, so it's definitely thinning, and whatever is going on, it must be something to do with my scalp. So I kind of, again, carried on looking online, and you see, I don't know how to pronounce it, but sebderm, again, you can explain. So I thought maybe that's what it could be. That's when I told my best friend, I was like, oh, showed her the pictures, and I was like, it's actually thinning. Like, I don't know, this looks quite problematic. And she was, again, was like, oh, it could probably be your hair care practices, but if you're worried, go and see a hair doctor, is what mm-hmm. she called it. And to be honest, before she said that, it didn't even cross my mind that that's what I should do. I looked at YouTube videos, and I thought maybe I can just fix it myself with rice water, blah, 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 blah. It was, for some reason, when she said that, I was like, oh, yes, actually true. I could probably go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I skipped the GP because I've just had bad experiences with my GP. Well, do you know what? It's not with my GP, but with the GP in general, I've had bad experiences. And also, when I got married almost 2 years ago, I moved to GPs, mm-hmm. and I haven't really been there since. He doesn't really understand my history, like my old GP, who was really good. So I just thought, oh, I can't be bothered. To be fair, I actually did call them to book an appointment.
Yeah.
But I cancelled it because I was just like, this is long. Then obviously you see all the Belgravia advert. Can I say their name?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I don't know. Okay. So you see the Belgravia adverts on the tube and it's free and everything. So I was like, let me go there because don't really want to be spending money. Let me just go there.
Yeah.
So I booked an appointment with them and I went during my lunch break and they did the trichology stuff. Like they looked at it through a magnifying glass and everything. And then they were just like, oh, you have female pattern hair loss,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the hair loss is kind of concentrated around the crown area.
Yeah.
So they were like, you've got female pattern hair loss, you can take minoxidil, and you also probably have eczema on your scalp, like from where the redness is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh my gosh, thank God, I don't have CCCA, don't need to panic, like it's just female pattern hair loss, it's genetic, like there's not really much I can do about that. And maybe I'll take the minoxidil. But I don't know, something in me wasn't convinced. I wanted to see somebody who specialised in Afro hair.
Right.
So before going to Belgravia, I'd actually looked online for people who specialise in Afro hair. I came across like one or two. I actually called one that I would have gone to. And they were just like, oh, you should probably see your GP first before you come, just because like the GP will know what to do. And I just, after they told me that, I was just like, I'm not going to that GP because I know what GPs can be like. Some are very, very good.
Yeah.
But in my experience, especially as a black woman, sometimes they can just be, they won't believe you, or they'll just go, they just won't really try and identify the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. So after he said that, I was just like, well, I'm not going there. So yeah, I got this diagnosis of female pattern hair loss. This was probably around February now, because I said I got the braids in December, I took them out in January. So this is my February. After the diagnosis, I kind of went away and I was clicking hashtags on Instagram for androgenetic alopecia, which is basically the same thing as female pattern hair loss. And that's when I found you. I saw you and I saw like loads of black women and I saw people with CCCA that you had posted on your Instagram page. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I've been looking for. Somebody who is a trichologist that can see me and can specialise in black women hair, so I know for sure what's going on.
Yeah.
So then I DM'd you and I was like, oh, well, I already got this. So I was being cheap. I really didn't want to spend more money. So and obviously I went to Belgravia for free. So I DM'd you, I was like, oh, I kind of went to Belgravia. This is what they said I have. I'm not entirely convinced because of the red spots on my hair. That was why I wasn't convinced. Because of the red spots, I just didn't feel like that kind of corresponded with the diagnosis of androgenetic. From what I'd seen online, they just didn't look compatible. Even though they did say that I probably had seb derm, I just really wasn't convinced. It didn't look like seb derm to me either. I think there were some parts where I did have it, but
you just knew deep down that it just wasn't like all of the dots didn't fit.
Yeah, like it just didn't. Yeah, exactly. Things just didn't connect, and I knew something was going on. So yeah, then I found you, DM'd you. I was like, oh, do I really have to like see someone else? To be honest, I knew I should see you anyway. I don't know. I wanted you to convince me not to come.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, see, I don't need to come and spend more money. But you were like, if you're not convinced, you should get a second opinion. So I was like, okay, cool. And from ever since February, like so once I knew for sure that my hair was thinning, I was really upset and I just couldn't stop talking about it. Like to my husband, I'd be like, oh my God, my hair's going, like, I don't know what to do. Is all my hair going to fall? Like, I just didn't know what to do.
How was he in that situation? How was he like as you were going through it?
He was very like, oh, don't worry, don't panic. Like you've been to the hair doctor. He's more, where I like to see the negative, he likes to see the positive.
But
because I knew the research I had done and I didn't really explain it to him, like, oh, this is what Google says, blah, blah, blah. He was just like, oh, stay off Google. Like, don't worry. Like, just do what they're telling you to do. But when he began to see that it was really impacting me and I wanted to come and see, and I told him, oh, I'd found someone on Instagram. Like, I think I want to go and see someone else. He was just like, fine. Like, I'll just pay for it because I didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
I didn't even say it. And once he said, oh, do you know what? If you really want to go, I'll pay for it next month and you can go. When he said that, I was like, oh, thank God. And I was really happy. To be fair, he really made me feel kind of comfortable. So then I just booked the appointment straight away. I didn't even wait for him to give me money. I'm like, you can just give me the money later. Let me book the appointment. So I booked the appointment. And I booked it like, so it was like a week or two, quick. Because I didn't want to sit on it and for it to get worse. So when I came to see you, you made me feel very, very comfortable. You kind of like, do you want the screen up? I was like, no, it's fine. Like, it's not at a place where I would feel embarrassed because I can still kind of cover up the patches. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I didn't even know that there were more patches on my head. I still thought it was the one at the back and that right. There was some thinning in the middle. So when I then came to see you and you kind of did the examination, you looked through, I don't know if it's called a magnifying glass, but that equipment that you used to see the scalp. Yeah, I knew straight away that you knew what you're talking about. From your Instagram, I knew that, okay, you know what you're talking about. And even your Instagram, because it says things like, I had seen results on your Instagram from people who had CCCA, who had gotten better. And it was, your Instagram was very, very encouraging. So I kind of thought that's good because I really didn't have any hope. But I was just like, if this is, what I'd seen on Google was really bad. Like, it was people who probably had gone to the doctor too late and there was just no hair left on their head. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when you have CCCA, the damage can be permanent.
Yeah.
So I was just like, really like, if I use my hair, it's going to be permanent. And
mate, I remember you sitting there, when you came and sat down, you were just like, listen, I don't want it to be permanent. And so, like, what are you going to tell me? And I was just like, wow. What am I going to do? This girl's about to burst into tears in front
literally,
of me.
Literally, I would have been holding back because I really had wanted to cry, like even at home and stuff. Like, I was really just trying to hold it back. I was trying not to think really negatively because I was just, in my head was already gone. Like, where the patches were, there was nothing I could do because that's what Google will basically tell you. It tells you that if you have a CCCA diagnosis, treatment, there's not much treatment available because the hair loss is permanent. So mm-hmm. that's just what I had seen, and I was like, I need to prepare myself for the worst because it's better that I think the worst and get there and you tell me so I don't cry than for me to be all like, oh no, it's probably fine, and then I get there and you tell me this and it's a massive shock and then I'm just like, oh yeah, it's not gonna grow back. So that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, let me just prepare myself just in case this is what it is. I know what I've seen online and I know the symptoms that I have. So When I first saw you, you weren't able to make a clear diagnosis just because of my pattern of hair loss. So I said CCCA, which I think, if I'm correct, and again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the hair loss is usually kind of from the crown and it spreads outwards.
Yeah, because you had like hair loss, like thinning in the crown a little bit, but it was more like localized to like the left side and like towards like, the base of your neck. And then you had like, other symptoms as well that like it wasn't clear cut. So I was like, okay, there's a couple of things going on. And we were talking about like your hair care practices.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't like exacerbating any of the problems or anything. So it was kind of like, okay, I've got loads of pieces to a puzzle, but some of them, I feel like I've got two puzzles here. I was trying to work out, like, make sure. So yeah, so, and I felt so bad that I couldn't give you a definitive answer. Especially if like you'd gone somewhere previously and were telling me, oh yeah, they think it's female pattern. I was just like, nah. It's not, you know.
It's not.
And I was just like, no, this is permanent hair loss. And usually I don't get like worried. Like, I've gotten better at like managing people's expectations of like how their hair loss is going to develop. Yeah. But like, I feel like that week I'd seen loads of people with like really bad hair loss. And I think we'd been talking on DMs beforehand. I just don't want it to be permanent. I just don't want it to be permanent. So I'm not going to lie. Like, I was just like, no, why am I feeling nervous, you know? This hasn't happened to me
in a long time. I was my fault, and I transferred that onto you.
Mate, and I remember texting like one of my friends who's a trichologist while you were sitting there being like, fam, look at this for me, please. Like, what's happening? And she was using it as like a teacher moment, being like, tell me, what do you use? I'm thinking, nah, bro, this girl's about to cry and talk and share my job. Please give me an answer. I need her to go home with something.
To be fair, I kind of was prepared that it was probably going to be something that could be permanent. So
yeah,
I wasn't like, even, and I'll carry on and tell the story, but even like when you referred me to dental, I just literally had no hope. And it wasn't because of you. You were so encouraging and being like, you know what, there's things that you can do. My hair care practices were poor anyway. So I needed you to help me get on track with my hair care practices, which I think has really helped in general, just for the general health of my hair, which makes you feel better anyway. So, yeah, my hair care practices were terrible. Didn't have any hope at all. So when I came to see Ebony, or came to see you, the diagnosis was basically inconclusive, but you gave me tips to improve my hair care practices, which included washing weekly, which I was shocked to hear.
You were just like, no, we're not doing none of this.
But I had to try not using oil on my scalp, which again, I was like, what? And I've not greased my scalp since, like, I'm not dying. Yeah, literally, I've put all this oil that I bought just before I came to see you as well, because I was trying to do things, and I was, like, pouring so much oil on my scalp, growth, wild growth oil, every type of oil to try and just do something. I was just so lost. I didn't know what to do. So yeah, you told me not to put oil on my scalp, to wash my hair weekly. You gave me some products that I could use to deep condition because my hair was very dry. And then you referred me to a are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, brilliant. And then you referred me to a dermatologist. So when you did
that, and I remember you saying, do you remember what you said when you
to spend more money?
You're like, this is a cash loss. And I was just like,
yeah, that's probably exactly what I said. I said, this is cash loss. Because yeah. I knew I've been down the private healthcare route before. I mean, I've used private healthcare at work loads of times. And when it's free, it's amazing. But when they stop covering you and you have to fork out like £300,
£400,
yeah. Oh man. Already, I had to do. My husband's already paying for this one. He's not paying for the next one. I was like, oh man! But I was like, and I felt like I was at the relatively early stages of catching whatever it was that it was. And I was like, I need to just bite the bullet and spend the money now while I still have some chance of recovering, then sit on this thing, let it get worse, and there's no hope. I was already feeling so gutted with facing hair loss in the first place that I would just feel so much worse. If I left it and it got worse and I didn't make any effort to try and change it.
Yeah.
So after that, I was like, oh, I need to see this dermatologist. I actually did try and kind of do it for insurance at work, but they would refer me to my GP, and then Corona started getting worse. I was like, I don't want to go to the GP. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to self-fund and I'm going to contact the dermatologist. So I did that. Before I did that, I was still like washing my hair weekly. I was using the products. Saw the dermatologist and she was like, okay, send me
pictures. Oh, wait, no, we have to go back because it got worse first.
Oh, yeah, it did. Oh, my gosh. I can yeah, that was bad. As I was washing, it got worse. I was like, the first patch that I said I saw that was probably the size of my little finger, fingerprint, that patch at the back started spreading and it got really wide. And I'll take a picture and I remember I took one picture when I, like, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks after I'd seen you.
Yeah.
And I saw it. And I just burst into tears. I think this was the first time that I actually cried. Because before, whilst I was low, I was close to tears, but I never actually... I saw that picture and I cried. I called my mum. I was like, my hair's falling out. It's worse. I just don't know what to do. And I, just because I knew that it could be permanent, I just was like, I don't know what to do. My hair is just terrible. That's when I DM'd you. I was like, this thing is getting worse. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what I was expecting you to do. I don't even know. I was just like, I just was so upset. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. I was really in tears at that point. I was just like, I was just thinking in my head that my hair could legit be gone. And I just was having, I was thinking about my best friend. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to just wear frontals. And I was also trying to make myself feel better. I was like, at least I live in a generation where wigs look really good now. I can get a good, but I was just trying to make myself feel better so I wouldn't have to
be
crying at the fact that I legit might not have any hair left. I was really, really upset. And thankfully, like, you called me, you was like, you know what? Just keep going, just keep going. Make sure you see Sharon, which is the dermatologist, just keep going. I was like, well, that's all I can do at this point. I have to at least try and exhaust all means before I start weeping. And my mum was like, my mum, she's very like, okay, now you've cried, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, good.
So I called my mum and I was crying. She was like, okay, so now what are you going to do? Like, you know, there's no point in crying. What's your next step? And that's when, okay, I need to contact the dermatologist. So I did. And she was like, okay, send me pictures.
Mm.
And by this point, this was maybe like, when did I contact her? Probably like March. We were already in lockdown, so it would have definitely been March. At this point, I had an array of pictures I could send because I had the pictures that you'd taken. Because when you took pictures, that's when I saw the first bald patch.
Yeah.
You showed me the picture and there was a full-on... like there was scalp. That's when I was like, okay, this thing is definitely getting worse, because up until then, when I had been noticing the thinning, there was no patches, it was just thin.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no patches. When I saw that patch, I said, I need to do something quickly because now there's patches. And that's what I was using to make myself feel better before, that, oh, at least there's no patches, it's just thinning.
Yeah, it's just thinning, but reality hit you as well.
I think that's also why I was so upset when I came to you, because that's when I realised, okay, now I've got patches, I can't ignore it anymore, there's definitely something going wrong. Because before I was like, oh, maybe it's stress, maybe it's just thinning, all of that kind of stuff with age. But once I saw those patches, I knew there was something going on. So by that point, when I contacted Sharon, by that point, I had so many pictures that I could have sent her. So I sent her all the pictures, and then we did an online consultation. Obviously, it would have, before Corona, it would have been face-to-face, and she would have been able to part my hair and look, but because of Corona, we had to just make do with the pictures.
Yeah.
So that's when she was like, you either have CCCA or LPP, I can't pronounce the full
thing. Lichen planopilaris, yeah.
Yeah. So she was like, you either have CCCA or LPP, but I think you have LPP because in one of the pictures that you showed me, I can see the redness of your scalp at the back of your head, and that's very consistent with LPP. So I was like, oh, this is the diagnosis I have been dreading, because I kind of knew that this is probably what it was going to come to. Mm-hmm. But I just kept on telling myself, oh, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just like eczema on my scalp. Maybe it's something else. But once she told me that, I kind of knew. So I had to just accept it. And then she kind of talked me through all the different treatment options. She's like, we're going to start with a steroid cream, and you can take minoxidil if you want, which I still haven't taken.
Yeah.
I will take it, but I just haven't at the moment. So she was like, yeah, you can take minoxidil, you can take a steroid cream. And she gave me some shampoo, which I think is like a preventative measure, she said. And she said, the shampoo will dry your hair out, so just use loads of deep conditioner, which was...
Okay, yeah, probably just for like the itchiness and like the tenderness as well. Yeah.
Exactly. So she gave me that, and I was like, okay, fine. I was still feeling like, oh, this might not work. But I got it, and I started using it in the middle of March.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last wash day I had, I was taking, to be honest, after about 2 weeks, I started feeling like the patch in the back that I could feel that initially alerted me to this hair loss, I couldn't really feel it as much anymore. Yeah. But in my head, I was thinking, oh, maybe this is like growing back, but I didn't really want to get my hopes up. And I would get my husband to take pictures. And at this point, so from when I'd seen you in March to now, I've literally had this poor man take pictures every single week.
Hey.
And he's like, you need to stop taking pictures. You need to stop watching it. It's not going to grow like that. But I was like, no, just take a picture. I feel like it's growing. I can feel more hair. So he took pictures. And I also had a patch in the middle of my hair as well that I had gotten worse. So like the middle, it was like a spreading patch that was wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him take a picture of that. And then I looked at it. And I was like, this looks like just more hair, but I need to find a picture from before to make sure that I'm not being silly and I'm not imagining things.
Yeah.
So I went through the archives, and the patch in the middle was the one that I compared it to. And I'd seen that, no, this is definitely growth. This is the middle of my hair. It was smooth before. There was a landing strip almost.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Like, that's the best way to describe it, because it really was like that. That was smooth.
And it wasn't like that, just for people for clarity. It was probably like the size of like, I feel like it's like a 50p, if even that. But it's okay. I know how it felt to you, so I'm not going to minimize that.
And then I was like, oh no, it has grown. Like when I compared the two pictures, that's when I knew for sure it's definitely growing, because I can see this is the same piece of hair and there's growth there. There's actually hair. I was like, oh, I don't want to get too excited because I don't want this to fall out again. And like, you know, I don't even know how I got here. So let me not get excited. But I was so happy to see growth, especially for me, because like I said, I really didn't think that it would work. Even when I went to see Sharon, I reluctantly was using the steroid cream just so I could say that I've tried everything, but it's still not working. So when I saw that it was actually working, I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, like you can actually have growth. And yeah, that's really where I am today. Also, other things I've tried to do, this is just me, this is self-diagnosis and stuff, but I kind of look
like... comes out, yeah.
I've just been taking, like, because it's inflammation that kind of causes the hair loss.
Yeah.
I've just kind of, natural things like turmeric tablets, and just trying to be better with my diet, less sugar and more. I don't know if this is contributing or not, but I feel like I've got results.
Yeah, so you just like, okay, cool. I'm waiting till I hear something risky. And then I'm like, okay. So turmeric, no, come on, just want to be in turmeric tablets, what else?
Turmeric tablets, and literally the rest of it has been diet. And also because we're in lockdown, I firmly believe that not having the stress and the commute and all of that has really massively helped as well, because I was so stressed out last year. And one of the things I read was that stress can contribute to just those feelings of inflammation, like to inflammation. Your cortisol levels increase when you're stressed out, and that kind of can cause all sorts of problems with your body and your immunity, just because your body has to work harder to combat your stress.
Okay, I'm not mad at it. I agree with that.
So I've just actively tried to manage stress. You can use apps, there's Headspace and other things. Like when I feel myself getting stressed, I'm like, I just need to take a break. Like, I'm just, last year, I just feel like I liked to carry stress, but now I'm just like, I can't do that anymore. It's not good for my body. In addition to hair loss, I had other symptoms. I knew for sure that stress was definitely elevating things that were going on in my body. So
yeah,
I was just like, you know what? I can't do stress anymore.
No, that is amazing to hear that it's kind of been like a holistic thing for you. So not just, okay, I'm going to like do these things just for my hair. It's like had a deeper impact where you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, better. For sure.
That's amazing. Yeah, like, yeah. Listen, because when I tell you my stress levels were high, every time you DM me, I was just like, this girl's going to be asking for her money back. Her hair's all.
No, I would never do that.
First time, I was just like, okay, so when you called, that first time when you said, oh, Ebony, now my hair's falling out. So I called you and I was just like, okay, I mean, brace yourself in it, you're gonna get blasted. It's just like, what's happening? I was like, do you know what? Yeah, just keep at it. I was proper trying to like reassure you that it's not that it's not as bad as you think, but like that the scarring wasn't like widespread. So you had like, I feel like you were very, very early in like the in the disease process where you had some damage. But because your hair was also in like a weaker state, it was more susceptible. So you were getting like, you had all of the symptoms. You had like breakage, redness, itchy, everything. And I was like, let's just try, especially with like your hair care routine, get some of those out of the way, because some of those weren't related to like LPP at all. And so I was like, if you can do that, you'll see like results in like the feeling of your hair and how it looks and the health of it. And then we can tackle like the underlying causes as well.
Which so, I so agree with, yeah.
Yeah, and also it's like, the more you stress about it, you're going to get shedding as well. So it's just like you are adding extra things on top, and it's just like, okay, please, please, please relax. I know it's like, it's easier said than done, but I'm so glad that you took all the steps and the advice and really like worked at it, especially as you're saying now that like, you know, you didn't actually believe that you could make any difference to like how your hair was behaving at that time. So yeah, it was like, when I got that last picture from you, mate, I was so happy. I was just like, oh my god, this is like wicked. If I'm glad that anybody had like results, I'm really happy that you did, because seeing how just down it made you,
I didn't even think hair loss would ever make me that down, because I've never been like a hair girl. Like, for me, length and thickness, I was just like, as long as my hair is healthy, I don't really care about the length, because half the time I'm in wigs anyway. So I never thought that losing hair would make me that upset until it actually happened to me. And I, like I said, one of my best friends, she's got alopecia areata, and one of my other friends, she also has alopecia areata. And I'm always around, especially my other friend, when her hair was falling out, like I saw how upset it made her, and I was like, oh, try not to worry, you know, it's her, like we can just wear wigs. Until it happens, I will never, anytime anyone ever tells me they're losing their hair, I will never minimize that ever again, because I know how it felt and how horrible it made me feel. And I was surprised at how, like, every time I'd get upset about it, I'd try and tell myself, like, don't be so upset, it's just hair, honestly, like you can just wear a wig, like it's, you're still healthy, you're still living, there's people out here dying, especially with this corona, like, there's people out here dying, and it literally is just hair. I would try and make myself like snap out of it, but it's really an upsetting situation to go through. It really is. And I just think, I want to say, if anyone's losing their hair, like, you're actually entitled to feel however you want to feel. If it makes you feel down, it's okay.
Yeah, because definitely.
Until it happened to me, I didn't realize how upset it could ever make you, honestly. It's like it takes over your life. Like, all you're thinking about is, oh my God, my hair is going. What am I going to do? Like, how is this going to work? You just don't realize how much you take having hair for granted until you actually start to lose it. It's not a feeling at all.
For real. And what I like about your story is that you had such a like wide support system. Like, you'd had friends who'd experienced it. You were able to talk to your family and your partner as well.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the people I see, maybe they have like one or two people, but they're not able to like discuss it freely. How do you feel like that helped you to be able to like manage your feelings?
Do you know, with my husband, I feel like at first he really like minimize the hair loss situation. He was just like, don't worry, because when it was just the thinning, he was just like, don't worry about it, you're probably being dramatic, like maybe it's just bad hair care practices, etc. 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 And I was like, no, I'm telling you, like, I know, I feel it in my soul that something's going on. And then when he started to see how upset it was making me, that's when he started to take it more seriously. That's when he was like, okay, fine, if you really want to go and see this person, like, I will pay for it. And then, like I said, with my best friend, if it wasn't for her saying to me, if you're really worried about it, go and see a hair doctor, because like, yeah, it never crossed my mind that I could actually do that. I didn't even really fully know that. As much as I knew there were people out there that were specialized in this kind of thing, it just didn't cross my mind. I was just like, oh my God. I was too busy thinking my hair was going, I don't have any hope.
It's because you couldn't speak to your GP about it as well. That's the kind of barrier you had, because maybe it could have been that, you know, if you were comfortable speaking to them, you could have been referred to a dermatologist on an NHS or gone down that route, but that was kind of like a closed off option to you.
Yeah, but I'm glad, as much as I would say to people, like, don't skip the GP's step, I'm kind of glad I did, just because I feel like he or she might have made me, before I got to you, it would have taken longer to get to you, because at first they'll be like, oh, maybe it's nothing too serious or this, that and the other. But then other GPs will just go straight and give you the steroid treatment straight away. So it kind of depends.
Yeah, I think it's good to see your GP, even if it's just to get bloods done. But I like is that you kind of knew in yourself that even when you were told this is what it is, you were just kind of like, this doesn't feel right. And while I hate Google for like the images and some of the misinformation, it did help you to kind of like solidify that actually this diagnosis maybe doesn't make sense for me.
I agree.
I think at the end of the day, as much as like myself and other specialists know, everybody knows their body kind of intimately, do you know what I mean? So it's like, there's something still going on, or like this treatment might not be working best for me. So I think it's always good when you can to kind of be informed yourself.
I agree. And I think because I looked at the pictures and I'd seen the spots and stuff, I was just like, if it's female pattern hair loss, all of this redness I'm seeing, I don't think I would have that. There's got to be something else going on. And that's why I was just like, so as much as, try to stay off Google if it's scaring you, but it is good to be aware of all the potential possibilities of what could be wrong and what the symptoms are, so that you know that if your symptoms don't match up with what you've been told or what you think, then you can kind of push for a clear diagnosis.
Yeah. And so what kind of things, where were you kind of like looking online? Because I know you said you like searched Instagram hashtags and like YouTube and stuff. Were you looking for like bloggers, or were you looking on like the NHS website or dermatologists? What kind of like places where you're seeking information, and how are you vetting it?
When I first kind of saw the thinning, I started with YouTube. So I first started with Google.
Yeah.
And there's some forums and stuff, but that was just like random people just giving their experiences, and they're not really qualified. So I kind of ignored that. And then I went on YouTube, and then I forgot this woman's name, but she makes really informative YouTube videos on black hair.
Okay.
Oh, I've forgotten her name. But she's really really good, because it's like she tells you the science behind it. It's not just like, oh, this is my story, I use rice water and now I've got hair. Because the problem with like a lot of beauty bloggers is that they can make it all about their personal experience, and everyone is not going to see the same results. But the person that I first looked at was somebody who was more of an informative person, and she was just like, these are general issues that black women face, blah 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 blah, these are the symptoms of CCA, if you have it, it's really important that you do this. So that was the first video I saw, and I was like, oh, this kind of sounds familiar. Then from there, I would take each potential diagnosis or my symptoms, I'd put them in Google, and then I'd see. And then there's another doctor in Australia, I forgot his name, he's a man doctor, his name starts with D, he has a website about hair loss, and he will tell you kind of, he's an actual dermatologist, so the information there would be valid. He would tell you your symptoms, possible treatment methods, etc. And that's one of the reasons why before I came to you, I was like, if I have LPP, I'm basically screwed, because the information that's out there is very, very negative about LPP.
Yeah.
It basically tells you that, even from what I've seen and other people's experiences, doctors can be very negative about it because they don't really know what causes it. They don't really know how to address it. For some people, even if they give you steroids, it just gets worse and worse. So I was just like, if this is what I have, from what I've seen online, it basically looks like it's impossible. I've got no hope. Mm-hmm. I even said it to my husband when I knew that's what it was. And he was like, oh, why don't you try this? I was like, don't tell me to try anything, because I've looked online. And this is what it basically says, that no matter what you do, there isn't really much you can do to treat. I even had to ask the doctor, I was like, when she told me it's probably LPP and I'm going to give you some steroids, I was like, do you really think it's going to work? Because I've seen online that, you know, it's probably not going to work. And she was like, well, you can try it, and if it doesn't work, we can then give you steroid injections, and if that doesn't work, you know, there's plasma something that you can try as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was just like, there are quite a lot of treatment options, and you start with obviously the least invasive, see the results you get with that, and then you can continue on to see what helps.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think, and like I said, I'm not gonna lie, even with the steroid treatment, I didn't think I was gonna see results. I was very, very, very skeptical. In general, I'm skeptical of people that say they've got miracle hair results.
Yeah.
Because we've all probably been victim to trying something online and it's just not worked. So I was very skeptical. Even if it was science, I was just like, don't know if this is gonna work.
No, I thought your story is amazing because it's like, I know that you were still early, but like you had such good results so quickly.
And I was surprised as well, honestly. Yeah. I was just like, I can't believe it. I was genuinely shocked. That's why I have to say that if from the minute you catch hair loss, you should really be seeing the doctor. I even think I left mine a little late because when I first noticed that patch back in October, that's when I should have been concerned. But I don't know why I wasn't. I just thought it would just grow back. I think if you see a patch and you know you haven't been like wearing tight hairstyles or anything like that, immediately just go to your GP, skip everything online that will tell you to do X, Y, Z. Just go straight to somebody who can give you professional help is what I would say. Yeah,
it's true. I think that's what the difference is sometimes, is that catching it really, really early. So sometimes, especially like when it's subclinical or things like that, you can just be like, you know, okay, it's just a little bit of thinning, or it might just be these styles that I did and yada, 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 or like my hair's itchy. We kind of attribute the symptoms to something else.
Yeah.
Like when you went to the hairdressers, you were like, oh, actually, I noticed some of these things. Or when you looked at, I mean, PCCA, you were like, okay, I've actually had some of these symptoms, but you didn't put all the pieces together.
Yeah, I just left it. Because especially like with mine, it was starting with itchiness in the same place. And I just thought, oh, my scalp is so dry. Like, what's going on? And there's oils that they will give you for itchy hair. So mm-hmm. I would go and buy oil for itchy hair, not realizing that the oil is probably going to make my symptoms worse because I also have sebderm and gastric for your scalp. So then I'd be putting oil on top of a dry, itchy scalp, and the oil, my scalp would still be dry and it would still be itchy. And then I'd just put more, and it was just making it worse and worse and worse. And I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, man. Oh, I'm so happy for you, man. I'm really, really, really
Thank
happy.
You.
Like, this is like one of my favorite result stories because you had me sweating.
I was sweating. I know. I feel so bad because
Don't feel bad. As I said, it was just like the timing of it. I think I'd had like a really difficult week, and then seeing you, I was just like, oh my god. And because I think the build up of it as well. Usually, I don't get to have much interaction with my
but
we've been talking for a while. I remember like you messaged me, and be like, oh yeah, I've been here. What should I do? And I was like, I mean, you can take the treatment or you can have a consultation. It's up to you. And you're like, okay, cool. You're like, okay, but this is happening. I was just like, sis, you can have a consultation if you want, but it's not going to happen.
Even I knew I should have had a consultation, but I just felt like I was trying to convince myself not to spend money. But then I was like, this thing was really worrying you. And I think if my husband didn't say that, if that thing's worrying you, like, literally, I'm just going to pay so you can go and see someone so it makes you feel better, I probably would have just, I don't know what I would have done, to be honest. Like you said, it was support system. My friend who said, go and see a hair doctor. My husband was like, look, I'll just pay if you want a second opinion.
Yeah.
I think without those two people, I don't think I would have made it this far in terms of the hair journey.
No, wicked. So talking about it really helps. Can we quickly touch on a bit more detail of the dermatology appointment? I know it was a bit unconventional because it happened like virtually during lockdown. But a lot of people, like, they'll come and see me and then kind of get to a stage where I'm like, okay, even if I have more of a conclusive diagnosis, like, the dermatologist just needs to give you the specialist medication for it. How did that part go for you? Like, what were you thinking, feeling, you know? Because even when you're talking about, like maybe, I don't know, the side effects of some of them, what did you think about taking, like, medication or, like, using, like, a specialist cream for hair loss?
I'm skeptical. Like I said, when I hear steroids and stuff, you just think, even my mom was like, oh, when you get the steroids, just be careful with that, because you know, sometimes they just make people like gain weight, and some people do have those symptoms and stuff.
Yeah,
everyone was just like, just be careful with steroids. Even I'd seen online a particular hair person online who was like basically saying one of her clients had had hair loss and didn't see much results with steroid creams.
Mm-hmm.
I think people try to negatively talk about steroid creams, but where I was at that time, I was just like, I'm just going to take, and one thing I'm grateful for is how your page is, because you kind of, when you do that myth busting thing, you do it really, I think for someone like me, I thought that was so helpful, because you're like, look, people tell you this, but this is what I know, and this is what I've studied, and this is what I can see. So at the place where I was at, I was just like, I need to try something. I've done the oils, I've done the rice, but I haven't seen any results. So the way I saw it, I was like, this steroid cream is not going to do any harm because it's already getting worse. So it's either it's going to continue to get worse or the steroid cream will actually help.
Yeah, you had kind of like nothing to lose.
Exactly. And one of my friends, I know I keep talking about all my friends, but like, because I'm so open about my, I've been so open about my hair loss with my friends, and I've found so many of my other friends have different stories. We all have a hair story. One of my friends who's a pharmacist also had a similar, she's had like a hair loss experience. Mm-hmm. It's not LDP or anything like that. I think hers is more eczema, but she was taking steroid cream for her eczema on her scalp, and she was like, oh, it's really helped. And don't worry, you can take it. Like, it'll be fine. You shouldn't see any side effects. So she made me feel a bit more comfortable in taking it. I would have taken it anyway, because like I said, I didn't have any other options. But speaking to somebody who was a pharmacist, who's my friend, going through a similar situation, she was able to kind of reassure me like, oh, no, it's fine.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good that, like, I guess openness really helped you on your journey and like pushed you forward at times when you weren't really able to make a decision yourself.
Yeah, but I understand that not everyone is going to want to be open because it's really embarrassing and it's really distressing. And
but why was it embarrassing? That's what I want to like get to the bottom of, because in your case especially, it wasn't your fault. Like, your immune system was working against you. Like, do you know what I mean? This isn't something that you did to yourself.
But you just feel like, oh man, like, I've got patches on my hair. It doesn't even look nice. Like, I just felt like, oh my gosh, it doesn't look nice. And, you know, with everyone who's got such nice natural hair, I just kind of felt like, oh man, this is really embarrassing. I think for me, because I had friends who had hair loss experiences and who have been open about it, I felt, that's probably why I went to my friend that has alopecia first, because I felt like she would know kind of how I felt talking about it. So I went to her first and I was like, oh my god. I also even felt really bad going to her, because I was like, here I am with like three small patches on my hair that I can easily cover up, and my friend has alopecia areata, and literally there is nothing she can do about it. She's very open, like, she shares her story online and things like that, so it's not something that's embarrassing to her. But I was like, here I am crying about what I'm going through, my friend is going through something, well, she's had it since she was four, and she's had to come to terms with it. Now she's 28, same age as me, and she's had to come to terms with it, and I'm here complaining and crying about my hair. I felt really bad. Even when I go to her, I'd be like, I'm so sorry, I know that you have your own hair story, and this is just such a small thing to be going through, but I just didn't know what to do. So it is hard to talk about. So I mean, even now, like, as much as my friends know what I'm going through, I've still chosen to come on here and be anonymous, because I'm like, I had patches on my hair.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I feel like you're still sharing your story, and so even if you don't want your name out there and stuff, because I mean, no, everybody wants, you know, their whole business on social media for like anybody to do whatever with it anyway. So yeah, but I think do you still feel embarrassed about it now?
Well, I do, like, not really, but that's because everyone knows, like, all my friends know. Even at work, like, when it was happening and I was so stressed at work, like, I say to my managers, like, honestly, I'm really stressed out right now. And on top of that, my hair's falling out. I can't deal with this right now. Like, I'm very, very open. So to be honest, now, not really. Everyone, all my close friends that I speak to, they know what I'm going through. They know that I have a hair loss. And when you posted my hair results, I literally, like, DM'd it to all my friends. I was like, yeah, these are the pictures. I know, like, even when I sent it to some of them, I sent, like, a caveat, like, this is so embarrassing that you can actually see the bald patch on my head, but, like, this is the progress that I'm making. And they were also happy for me, and they shared in that as well.
Do you feel like you got any, like, negative responses to sharing your story?
No, not at all. Like, the only thing I would say was in the beginning, like, with my mum and, like, with my husband, they kind of were just like, oh, you know, maybe you're just stressed out, maybe it's this. Like, everyone tried to say that maybe it could be this without actually thinking that there is a possibility that it could be an immune thing, and that it could be something that actually rice, water and oil is not going to help me with.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would say. Like, people can be a bit like, oh, just dash aloe vera on it, it'll get better. But sometimes, like, I think we shouldn't ignore the possibility that it could be an immune situation going on here. Let's try to not start by taking rice water and aloe vera, but go straight to the GP.
Because I guess when it comes to hair, people feel like they don't maybe understand that there's, like, apart from that, maybe like alopecia areata, there's like diseases of the scalp and the hair that can cause serious problems. So they kind of think, okay, maybe it's like, you know, I haven't, again, it feels very internal, like I am the problem, like I haven't been doing something, or maybe it's like the products I've been using, or like, you know, something that I've done wrong with my hair care.
Even I didn't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, even me, when I first found that patch, I thought it was maybe I've been doing braids and weaves this whole year and to stop manipulating my hair so much. And I think part of the reason why we do that as a community is because of all of the resources that we have available to us on YouTube, with people sharing their hair journeys, and people share their hair loss mistakes as well. But a lot of the time they'll just tell you, oh, it was because I was doing this and now I'm doing this and it's made it better, without actually saying, oh, this is what it was, LPP. And I think maybe in other communities that are not African, African, Black, or it's not necessarily like that, they wouldn't say, oh, use this conditioner. I might be wrong, but I think that's just been my experience.
No, it's true. Yeah, I can't speak up for outside communities, but definitely just feel like, you know, when we have an issue with our hair, it's kind of like, all right, let's go down to, you know, the hair shop first.
Exactly.
Or to YouTube and figure out, like, you know, what kind of quick fix is there. And if we see anything with, like, you know, growth oil, or like, you know, that's what we're doing. Like, mate, I did it as well when I was younger. Do grow and stuff, like, and at some point I felt like it grew my hair back, but it was like I was taking better care of it. So yeah, definitely seek help where you can. Excellent. Any parting words for the people?
No, I would just like I said, just if you know there's a problem, I would say go to the GP first. Of course, it's still good to try other stuff and to improve your hair care practices. As I've said, even I had hair care practices that were wrong, which have now helped me as well. But definitely go to the GP and have hope, because I everyone told me have hope. Ebony said have hope. I was like, yeah, but this might not work. Try and have hope. Whatever you do, just keep hoping and keep hoping is all I can say.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. And
no worries.
I'm wishing you more hair growth, you know, less stress and
thank you. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing, because honestly, when I found you, it was like a breath of fresh air, and it was such a relief for me, and it gave me hope even before I'd seen you, that there is actually a possibility that my hair can grow back. And I think if I didn't find you, I would definitely still be lost now. I wouldn't even know what I'm doing with my hair. So thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't let anyone discourage you.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you.